Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Stock Market Today. It's Allie Korman, Justin Nielsen here with a breakdown of the action in today's session. Monday, April 15th, tax day. We are going to break down the stock market action and an ugly day on Wall Street with breaks below key levels for the major indexes amid spiking treasury yields, Justin.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's not the way it started. So it's definitely one of those things where you have to kind of wait until the final moments to really kind of get a determination of how your day is. But we'll talk about some of the very few bright spots that were in the market today, including Atcor Inc., Casey's General Stores, and we'll finish off with Health Equity.
Okay, well, we'll do that. But first, let's take a look at those major indexes. The NASDAQ today down 1.8%, the hardest hit of the day, followed by the Russell 2000, that's 0RUS on our charts, down about 1.4%, followed by the S&P 500, down 1.2% today, and the Dow with a decline of about 0.7%. Just a lot more space now between where the Dow is trading and its 50-day line. But let's circle back to the NASDAQ and the S&P because those are the indexes, Justin, that have been performing the best. We've seen things chop around for a little while. And on the downside, we noted some levels headed into this week that we were watching, that downside reversal from two Thursdays ago, the 50-day line, and 16,000. And as of today's close, we're now below all three of those levels.
Yeah, it was one of those things that you can kind of take some solace in the fact that we were holding those levels. And unfortunately, they were kind of like all right around the same time, you know, same period, right? 16,000, the 50-day moving average line, and Thursday's low, all around the same area. And so we just knocked them all out today. The S&P 500 had already kind of done that. And if you had looked at the equal weighted S&P 500, RSP, that was kind of one of your early signals, right? You know, that was getting lost. The Russell 2000, as you mentioned, also, you know, all of these indexes now firmly below their 50-day moving average lines, and putting more distance below them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the individual leading stocks are still, some of them are still holding their 50-day lines, or at least their 10-week moving average lines, if you're looking at a weekly chart. But that remains to be seen, right? You know, we had kind of this strong Thursday that was enough to get a lot of excitement. And then, of course, we kind of had the Iran, Israel kind of going back and forth a little bit. That news was coming out Friday of expectations of something. Of course, this weekend, we saw an attack by Iran, and it was you know, defended. But now the question is it over? So I think that the gap up today had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, it was defended, and maybe that was it. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you did this, we did this. We're going to call it quits and call it even. But I think that there is some expectation that this might not be done, and there might be more to expect. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that happens, and if we could just, we can switch over to the VIX real quick. One signal that we use on our psychological market indicators is when you see spikes in the VIX, a lot of times that can coincide, especially if you're way above that 10-day moving average line, that can coincide with market bottoms. But we haven't really been in too much of a downtrend here. You know, right. I mean, it's really kind of just started in a downtrend. We were a percent off of highs just a couple days ago, right? So it's not really that a downtrend has been established. And the other thing too, especially when there's stuff like, you know, fighting breaking out or crises, financial crises, you can see it get a lot worse before it gets better. And so that's one thing that you do have to be very aware of. So while we do have this kind of red arrow there showing that there's an extension here on the 10-day, I don't think that that's necessarily, oh, it's time to just say everything's fine, because, you know, you really want to see that kind of quell itself. Yeah. And, you know, kind of know that some of that stuff is off the table. And I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, not yet. But one potential scenario that could still unfold, of course, we've got a lot of variables that we're looking at, whether it is the Mideast tensions on the macro front, interest rates, which we'll get to soon. But we still could potentially, Justin, do you think, be tracking with that 2003 example where we did have this strong power trend for 5+ months, up 28% or so? And then we finally not only had a test of the 50-day, but an undercut for a couple of days before the rally got back on its feet.
Yeah. And it's funny because Mike and I were talking about that today, you know, given I was driving in and we were having a discussion because before the market opened, we were looking at a strong open. And it was kind of like one of those things where if we kind of bounced from here, it would start feeling like we were not tracking, you know, with that 2003 precedent. But given the way we closed today, we're kind of back on track a little bit. Now, it doesn't mean we have to come in as much as we did then or in the same way. Yeah, percentage wise. You know, but, you know, we are below the 50-day moving average line. So we've got that kind of checked off. Now it's a matter of how far do we, you know, how long do we stay under it and how far do we come in? You know, and that's where you can't necessarily say, oh, well, this is exactly what happened last time. We're going to track to that exact number. It can rhyme without repeating. And so that's, I think, we're still going to be looking for how close do we track there. And that remains to be seen.
Exactly. Yeah. And even if that does end up being the case, I mean, you know, we have to still take things day by day, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to predict the future. So, and there are a lot of cross currents right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are, you know, cross currents. And remember, you know, what was going on at that point? Well, guess what? It was war in the Middle East. You know, we had attacked Iraq at that point in March, and a lot of uncertainty was going on there. I mean, it was, you know, it was unfolding, but I think that there was still uncertainty. There was a power, you know, a show of strength, but there was a lot of how does this unfold? How does this look a few years from now? What does this do to oil? All of those questions that happen. And so, there might be a little uncertainty. And remember that one of the reasons why we were looking at that 2003 precedent wasn't necessarily to say, oh, you know, this is how far in we're going to come or, you know, how bad it could get. It's also, as a reminder, what happened afterwards, that it was very short-lived and that there was a really nice move afterwards. So it's kind of like, you know, even if things get a little rough right now and go sideways or, you know, come in a little bit, don't forget that we could easily come out of this and move to highs. So don't get too negative. You know, don't get too positive when we were up at the, you know, levels we were at a few weeks ago, because this could be in play, but also don't get too negative because we could come right out of this and, you know, go into highs for another few months.
Yeah. I mean, and also to make things even more complicated, earnings season is here. Yeah. And this week it's really getting underway, but next week, that's the big week with all the big tech names. So it could be interesting these next couple of weeks, lots of headlines coming at us from all different directions. So,
it's probably worth taking a look at SMH, you know, to that effect, VanEck Semiconductors, because, you know, two kind of shots across the bow this week are going to be for the earnings on ASML and also for Taiwan Semi. So I think this is going to kind of lay out potentially the start, right? You know, people are always looking for data points, you know, and then once you get that data, you kind of readjust your models and then you look for more data points to keep on adjusting those models. So, the SMH, you know, this VanEck Semiconductor probably will kind of see its you know, first looks with ASML and TSM earnings this week.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to track as well. Okay, well, let's take a look at ATKR, a notable mover today because it was up on a down day and bouncing from a logical area here, just in the gain of about 2.5%. So talk to me about what you're seeing.
Well, and again, a lot of times I'll do screens, you know, just looking for any type of strength on a day that's down as bad as it is. And the reason why I'm looking for strength is because that's relative strength. I'm looking for, you know, what is holding up better, what is maybe going flat when the markets are down. And so this one kind of stuck out to me because ATKR, as you mentioned, was up today, which it was very hard to find stocks that were up. But it was also kind of coming into its 10-week moving average line. It's getting support right at the top of that previous base. So there was a lot of supporting action that was happening. And it's not that I was eager to buy anything today. It was more on defense for myself, but it's always good to be aware of things that are holding up a little bit better. And the building, construction products, miscellaneous, look, you know, real estate was one of the worst performing sector spider ETFs today. So it's not that, you know, you're really thinking about the building construction, but you are noting where that strength is. And while this did come off its highs considerably, it still has a decent look here. So it's just a matter of time, you know, hey, how does this hold up? Does this kind of establish itself crossing that downtrend? And, you know, does this support at the 10-week moving average line hold and build, bounce from there?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Next on our list, let's take a look at CASY. This is Casey's General Store, also bouncing today up 0.9% in today's session off highs, but again, up on a down day here. And we did have a pretty orderly pullback that we saw develop over the last couple of weeks, Justin. So this one's looking interesting too.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when you have a little bit more volatility, it's kind of nice to see things that don't move as much, you know, and so sometimes you can get relative strength that way, where it's not that it's necessarily going up, but it, maybe it's not going down as much as everything else. And while this had, if you look at the weekly chart, you can see that this had 3 weeks tight and it kind of fell, you know, from there, but it got support right there at the 10-week moving average line. And it looks so far like it's bouncing at that level. And again, this is kind of a slower moving stock. We did have US retail sales this morning. They came in a little bit stronger than expected. That might have been something that was putting some more pressure on the 10-year treasury yield, kind of making that go up as, again, inflation fears are still out there. What does that do for rate cuts? How far does it push them out? You know, we went from, you know, such bullish expectations on what when that those cuts could start coming. And it seems like it keeps on getting further and further away. But yeah, the retail sales were strong, and Casey's General Stores is in the retail area. Not a big mover, but it does have a lot of strength there. And if you look at the weekly chart, another thing to kind of note here, 19% earnings per share growth rate. That's an annual rate. What it does, you know, each year on average for the last 3 to 5 years. And you can see that the earnings stability number is 7. That's a number from 1 to 99, 1 being more stable, 99 being more volatile. And so when you get something that's fairly stable with an earnings that's double digit like that, that's kind of a nice combination.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Okay. One more stock to look at, and then a couple of other charts that I want to go to, Justin. Let's look at HQY. We're seeing it right around the 80 price level and the 10-week line.
And just look at it, just really hasn't done anything. Now, when the market was moving higher and it wasn't doing anything, that was a negative, right? That's making the relative strength line look poorer. But when it's not doing anything and the market's coming down, that makes it look a little bit more attractive. So it is fairly tight action here. And like Casey's, it's kind of coming in right there at the top of its previous base and at the 10-week moving average line. But in this case, it's not that it pulled back so much to the 10-week moving average line. It's been just kind of hovering there, you know, back and forth around its 50-day moving average line. So it's not the most exciting, you know, chart, but again, you're just looking at those things that held up a little bit better, because those can give you some clues of what the leadership might look like in the future. Now, we have some well-established leaders that are still kind of right around their 10-week moving average lines. I don't think it's time to necessarily give up on those yet. We'll see how we, you know, finish out the week. This is still, you know, in the same way that we were looking at the gap up this morning and saying, okay, well, let's see how we close. This is the start of the week. So there's a lot more week left that we can see how things kind of finish up, because there's a lot of time for us to recover some of the losses that we've suffered, and, you know, even potentially have a decent looking week.
Yeah. We'll have to see. I love your optimism, Justin. You know, always got to keep that optimism in the back of your mind.
You got to look at both sides, right? You can't be overly pessimistic or overly optimistic. Yeah. You have to be, you know, kind of holding both scenarios in your head, that this could happen or this could happen. And what am I going to do in each of those cases?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we looked at the VIX. But we could also look at 0TNX, because with the falling equity market, you have rising treasury yields. So just a quick look at this, Justin. I mean, we've been seeing—
Or is it the chicken and egg? Which right. came first, right?
Yeah.
Or is it the rising yields that's making the equity fall? You
know? Exactly. Because we've been seeing a trend higher. And, you know, yeah, we're just now kind of starting to weaken more considerably today in equities.
Yeah. And look, I mean, Thursday, the 10-year Treasury yield was up on that day, but the market was up even more. So that kind of expected correlation wasn't happening on that day. And I think that was a reason for us to be bullish was, if even the 10-year Treasury yield isn't holding this market back, hey, that says something to you. But then, of course, when the 10-year treasuries were coming down, the market was down. So again, it didn't quite track the exact way that you would expect. But remember, there's other things that, you know, are happening here. When there is uncertainty, especially like when war is happening, there does tend to be a rush to the dollar, a rush to the U.S. treasuries.
Safe haven areas.
Safe havens, exactly.
Like, you know, gold.
Like gold. You know, so it's kind of related when you are seeing kind of the rush to the safe havens. You know, you can have weakness in the equities, and you know the safe haven trade is kind of doing something different. So I think it's worth kind of keeping your eye on these things. At the end of the day, the price of the indexes and your individual stocks is going to trump everything. But you know, keeping your eye on these things and just kind of putting that in your calculus when those correlations are acting the way that you would expect, and when they kind of start diverging, you know, in a way that, you know, is explainable but is a little bit different, I think you have to keep those in mind. But certainly gold is something that has been on our radar for a while. You know, Jim Roepel was talking about this on the monthly chart, you know, for a while. For a long time. And remember, hey, look, when you go for a monthly chart, you've got to kind of look at months. You know, you can be saying, hey, this is looking like it's setting up, but it could be months until you actually see the breakout, which is what happened in this case. And we do have that breakout now. And a lot of these, I would say that gold is looking a little bit better than the miners themselves, but it's definitely a trade to be kind of keeping your eye on. In fact, there's a lot of commodity trades worth keeping your eye on. One last thing I'll leave folks with is DBC, which is the Invesco commodity ETF. And this one is looking like it's kind of, you know, holding up above that 200-day moving average line. So we'll see if this is something that tightens up, and maybe it's going to be the commodity trade for a little bit. So keep your eyes on that as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Justin. And thanks everyone for tuning in. That is it for today, but we will be back with more tomorrow morning on IBD Live. And we hope you join us, investors.com/IBD Live, for all the details on that, starting 10 minutes before the opening bell. We'll see you there. And then we've also got you covered here after the close tomorrow. This show is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Any securities and investment strategies discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making investment decisions.